God reveals to this little-known 17th century Peruvian purgatory mystic the souls in purgatory that are suffering the most and why it pleases him the most when you pray for them. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So I've covered this book before in a few other videos, but it's something of a strange book because it was not intended to be a book. Ursula de Jesus wrote down some of her experiences, and she was known to be very holy there in Peru, which is home to several very holy saints, one of them being Saint Rose of Lima, as well as several others. She was known to be holy, and she actually might have been canonized. However, all the documents for her life so that she could be canonized, they were lost in the ocean. They sunk in a ship that was on its way to Rome. So she had many experiences of the souls in purgatory, and some of the early parts in this particular book shows that the souls in purgatory that are suffering the most, who are they? Well, they are the ones that are at the bottom of purgatory, logically. Those that are at the bottom of purgatory are suffering the most, but that's not the biggest revelation. The biggest revelation that I want to make to you is that God is incredibly pleased, perhaps most pleased, when they are given relief. Why? Because they are suffering the most. They're the ones most in need of our pity and our mercy, and we console God, who holds them in existence the most, when we give them relief. This morning, when I was praying for them, I received incredible relief, incredible consolation. It was really weird, as if God was telling me, tell people to pray for them because they're in the worst condition. Now let's hear her account of who they are and what it's like for them. In the name of the Holy Trinity, I do not know if this was something that comes from that trickster. Since the new year, which was last Friday, and until now, Vespers of the Epiphany, each time I go to pray, a Franciscan friar appears to me. I never knew him, but he is the one who threw himself off the wall. God only knows if it is true. The friar appears and asks that I commend his spirit to God. He is suffering terribly, and on his behalf, he wants me to offer to the Eternal Father the terrible torments that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered those 3 hours that he hung from the cross until he died. I asked myself, did God experience so much agony? He replied that as a man, he experienced terrible agony, but did not need to. He only did it for our salvation. When he commended himself into the hands of the Father, he also did it to teach us and serve as an example. He did not need to do this because he is God. Among other things, he said that many friars and nuns of their orders behaved like statues, with only their bodies participating in their religious practice. If they observed the divine office, it was without regard, devotion, or mindfulness, and during Mass they were distracted and unprepared. I do not know how to say what happened then. Finally, the friar said that because of these misdeeds, they suffered terribly. From the moment he fell, which he had done without evil intent, he had performed many acts of contrition, and he now suffered the very same torments that exists in hell. He showed me a small wall, the height of my chest, and said that only that wall stood between him and hell. In spite of the wall, the flames there tormented him. I said to God that if this came from him, I would do everything. Everything possible for the friar, including all the stations of the cross and earning all the indulgences possible. Today, on the Vespers of the Epiphany, the friar returned to thank me and tell me that God would reward me and would give me the respite I had given him. I asked if God had received that little bit, and he said yes, that God took heed of what was done for the living and the dead. I should continue to commend his spirit and earn indulgences for him, because he still suffered from head to toe, especially around the crown of his head, where he experienced particular torment because he did not wear the tonsure ordered by our father, Saint Francis. I only remember all this in bits and pieces, but I do remember that he said that the time it takes to say the creed is equivalent to years of suffering in purgatory. Because I'm not sure these things are real, I do not speak of them as soon as they happen to me. But for 10 days, that friar persisted, pursuing me each time I entered a state of recollection. I have always seen him standing, his hands folded and covered in flames from head to toe. He continually insisted. I said to him, "Who am I? What worth do I have to do such a thing? He answered that God could place his special gifts in anyone. Many kings and monarchs, emperors and powerful leaders were in hell, priests and nuns as well. He would be there too were it not for the great mercy of God and other things along those lines. Now there are reiterated many themes that we see in other purgatory visions that we should offer for the souls in purgatory, the sufferings of Jesus himself. We are poor, but God gives us riches through the stations of the cross, meditating on the sufferings of Jesus, the chaplet of divine mercy, the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, as well as other devotions that focus on the sufferings of Jesus. These are our treasures that we offer on their behalf, as well as penances, fastings, and other such things. We also see the theme of that we must pray not just with our lips, but with our hearts. And that is very displeasing if we pray in this way as a shell. We must pray with great devotion and see it as an honor to pray. I also invite you, when you pray for these particular souls at the bottom of purgatory, pray for everyone in purgatory that you love, your family, of course, all these other people. But I want you to keep in mind these. When you pray for them, focus on them for a little bit of time and let God console you as he did me. Did you hear what he said? That God will give you the respite that you give me. The consolation you give me, I give to you. I experienced that this morning. It was awesome. It was so consoling that I thought I must tell you about this. This is amazing. So if you are ever in a moment where you need consolation, run to pray for the souls in purgatory at the bottom of purgatory. This makes complete sense because God will say to us what he says in the Gospel of Matthew. What you do to the least of these, literally the least in purgatory, you do unto me. Another great benefit that we can gain in praying for the souls in purgatory that are there in between that line, right at the bottom, right before hell, is we are always having before us this reality that hell is real, that there are people there, and this impels us. In fact, perhaps we should ask God in our imagination to show us what is hell like so that we can have this holy fear of God and challenge others to a life of holiness away from a life of sin. Because these people at the bottom of purgatory are the ones who have most received God's mercy. That's why they're there. And this double mercy that we're giving them, us praying for them, gives incredible glory to God. Because God is glorified most when we glorify his mercy. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.